I hope that you've been learned a little bit more about the 40 days of prayer. But one of the questions that we often ask ourselves is, what do we do when God says no to our prayers? As we conclude our 40 days, I want to say how proud I am, and I'm thankful for every one of you who leaned in over these past few weeks. I know many of you have had questions about prayer answered, and some even have more questions that we did not answer. But many times in the Bible, God promises to answer our prayers. For one example, in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, it says, "Call to me, and I will answer you." You see, God always answers, but not always the answer that we want. We covered that before, that he's not a genie. It's not a vending machine that you just push the buttons, put in your money, and out comes what you want. Remember, we understood that there are four ways that we hear from God. One is a yes, one is a no, one is a wait, one is a grow. The Bible's full of examples when God said no to a prayer. God said no to Abraham. For those of us that are in the Bible reading plan for this year, we just finished Deuteronomy. God said no to Moses. God said no to David. He said no to Job. He said no to Jonah. He said no to Peter. He said no to Paul. There isn't anyone in the New Testament that he didn't say no to at some point in time. I don't want to end without dealing specifically with when God says no, because here's two things I know. Oftentimes it's confusing. If God is loving and all-powerful, then why are my requests being denied? But they can also be frustrating. Why? Why do some people get miracles and others don't? Why do some people get sick and we pray and they get well and others die? Why do some get relief from pain and others don't? Why does God sometimes say yes and other times say no? You see, when you think about it, there are some obvious reasons why God doesn't answer every prayer with a yes. For instance, some prayers conflict with other prayers, and both cannot be answered at the same time. A child praying for bad weather so that they can stay home from school, and a praying parent who wants good weather so that they won't miss work. People praying for opposing teams. God can't answer both. I wonder if God really cares who wins. A second thing is, some prayers would require God to take away someone's free will and choice. And he won't do that. What if someone says, "I'm praying that God will force you to marry me"? You think God's going to answer that prayer? God gives you a choice. And so we won't force you to do anything. Some of you prayed that your spouse would stay in your marriage, but they left. You can't force someone to fall in love and to stay in love. God doesn't force you to do always the right thing. Thirdly, sometimes praying for people who are sick to stay alive will not always get a yes answer because we're not meant to live forever on earth. If faith is the only factor, then some people would never die. But in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 21, it says that we're appointed once to die and then to face the judgment. I want to live forever, just not here. And the fourth thing is, many times, the no answer is unexplainable. It doesn't make sense. It's tragic. And that's the greatest test of our faith. A tragic accident, an unexpected death, a dashed dream, an unfulfilled longing, a denied request. That's when no is heartbreaking. It feels unbearable. So today I'm going to do two things. I'm just going to give you a few reasons why God might say no, but more importantly, the second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to say, what do we do when God says no? There may be 1,000 good reasons why God says no. But before I share 3 possibilities, I want to give you a caution right up front. So please listen very carefully. Only use the reasons that I'm going to share with you to comfort yourself. Never use them with someone in pain because you don't know why God said no to them. Does that make sense? Never assume to know why God did something unless he tells you. The story of Job, you know it well. He loses everything. His unexplained suffering made no sense, and his 3 friends did the right thing at first. They came to him, they sat in silence for 7 days. Didn't say a word. And that's what a friend does. When someone's in grief, you show up and you shut up. In Jesus' name. But then they started offering reasons and explanations for his pain. And that is where they got it all wrong. Job chapter 42, verse 7. God said to Job's 3 friends, I'm angry with you, for you have not been right in what you said about me. My servant Job is the only one who spoke the truth and did it right. You see, you're on thin ice when you try to explain what God doesn't explain. Over the years, I've been involved in ministry enough. In fact, I met an old friend from college. He heard my very first sermon 100 years ago, and hopefully I'll be a little bit better than I was then. But over the years of ministry, I've heard people say, you know, the hurricane is God's judgment, or the flooding is God's judgment. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says, the time of judgment will begin first with God's own people, the family of God. He won't start with unbelievers. So these cautions, we'll look at 3 possible reasons why God sometimes says no. You ready? Turn to your neighbor and say, have you ever heard a no? Turn back to them and say, you're going to find out why. The first reason, of many reasons, is God says no when he has a bigger perspective. You see, God sees the whole picture. We don't. He has a wider view. We have a limited perspective. We can't see the future. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 13. He knows about everyone, everywhere. Everything about us is bare and open and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him. You see, one problem is that we have limited perspective. We can't see the unintended consequences of our requests. If you could see your life the way God does, would your prayers be any different? I bet they would be. I know mine would be. Would it solve many of your problems? Well, you'd never have to have unexpected trouble, because you could prepare in advance. You'd never ask for the wrong thing. But let me ask you something, parents. Do you give your kids everything they ask for? Of course not. Why? Because you have a bigger perspective. You see, when I ask God for something, there's no way I can imagine all the things that set in motion, the dominoes, the implications, the consequences of what I'm asking for. Every answered prayer sets off an entire chain of events, and God can see ahead. Sometimes God says no to protect you from unforeseen problems that would come. Proverbs 2 verse 8 says, God guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. He guards and protects. Circle those 2 words. That doesn't mean he always pulls you out of the frying pan. No, he just protects you from burning up. Daniel prayed, keep me from being fed to the den of lions. God allowed him to be tossed into the den, but he shut their mouths. The three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, keep us out of the fiery furnace. God threw them in through man, but just burned up the ropes that were holding them. Paul, the greatest prayer was, his greatest prayer was to preach in Rome. His idea was to book the Colosseum and hold a giant harvest crusade. God did get Paul to Rome, but not the way that he expected. He got to Rome as a prisoner in chains. Why, God? Why did God do that? While he was in prison, he wrote most of the New Testament. I'm glad he got to prison. You see, God had a bigger perspective, much larger impact through his writing. He has a bigger perspective. Second reason is God says no when he has a better plan. Often God wants to fulfill your desire, but in a different way. In his infinite wisdom, he has a better idea. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says this, God saying this, this plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours, for my ways are higher than yours. Circle the word ways. There's two of them in there. God has more than one way of doing things. Unlike you, his options are unlimited. He has many alternatives. He's never forced to answer in only one way. Now, example, if you're deep in debt, you're financially stressed, God can answer in many different ways. One way may be to increase your income. Another way may be to decrease your expenses. Here's the problem. We want God to answer in our preferred way. We want to prescribe not only the what, but how he answers as well. Of course, we want the easiest way, don't we? If we're in financial struggle, well, we want to win the lottery. But God always wants the best way, the way that helps you grow. And the way that grows your faith sometimes requires a delayed answer. Remember, a delay is not a denial. We've learned that during these 40 days. It's not a denial. Maturity is knowing the no and not yet. Many heroes with the greatest faith did not get their answer on earth. Look what it says in Hebrews 11, 39 and 40. As we went through a whole list of it's basically the hall of faith. These were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better. Underline, circle, planned something better. There's such a long list of people who never knew on this side of glory what they didn't see here on earth. Write this down. God has all eternity to fulfill his promises. He's not confined to this earth. Looking back, I'm grateful that God said no to some of my prayers. Stop saying, God bless my plans, and start praying, God, I want your plans. He has a bigger perspective. He has a better plan. Number three, God says no when he has a greater purpose. God will never let your prayer interfere with your purpose. Psalm 57, verse 2, I cry out to God Most High, who fulfills his purpose for me. You see, God is not obligated to explain why he does what he does. He doesn't need your approval. He doesn't have to check it out. But everything God allows in your life does have a purpose. including your problems, including your unanswered prayers. You may be in a tough spot right now, but look at what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. The purpose of these troubles is to test your faith as fire tests how genuine gold is. Your faith is more precious than gold. Anytime that you feel discouraged, remind yourself that God has a greater purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. These present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. Yet they will produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles that we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. If you want to be happy, you must learn to accept three facts of life. One, there are some things that we won't understand until we get to heaven. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 says, there are some things the Lord your God has kept secret, but there are some things that he has let us know. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 5, just as you'll never understand how the mystery of life forms in a pregnant woman, so you'll never understand the mystery of work in all that God does. The second thing is, there are some things that will never change until heaven. We live in a broken world. And we have permanent problems in a broken world. But that's not going to change until we're in heaven. Third thing, sometimes your suffering is for the benefit of others. God even allowed his own son to suffer for the benefit of others. We're going to start to focus on that in the next few weeks. Why? Because God had a greater purpose, our salvation. So let's get to the second part. What should I do when God says no? Here we go. You ready for it? Hang on. Number one, trust that God does everything in goodness and love. Psalms 25, 10, all the ways of the Lord are loving. Will you circle the word all? Romans 8, 28, in everything God works for the good of those who love him. Anytime God says no, Satan always steps in with doubts. See, God doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. But remember, the enemy of our soul is what? A liar. You see, I don't have to understand God's answer to know that it's motivated by love. The truth is, God loves you so much, he gave you everything you asked for. So you have three options in response. You can resist it and fight God and get mad and turn your back on him and say, if you won't do things my way, forget it, God. Or you can resent it, become bitter and miserable and doubt God's love. Or you can relax knowing that God has your best interests at heart and that he loves you. You might say something like this, God, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand it. It's incredibly painful. But I know this. This is not good, what happens to me right now. But I do know this, that you are good. You are good, and you are a good God, and you are loving, and you'll never stop loving me, and even in this, your love still remains. When in pain, the second thing is, pray what Jesus prayed facing the cross. In a minute, we'll look at Mark 14. The Bible says that in that agony, he went to the garden to pray, and the prayer that he prayed is the same prayer you and I can pray when we're in pain. God, I don't want this. I don't want to go through this suffering. It's okay for you to say that to God. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to face what I'm about to go through, whether that be cancer, whether that be surgery, whether that be a divorce or death or whatever. God, I don't want to do this. But look at what it says in Mark's gospel. Going a little further, Jesus fell to the ground praying that if possible, he might not have to suffer what was ahead of him. And Jesus prayed, "Abba, my Father, all things are possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine, to be done." Here's the right way to pray. First of all, affirm God's power. "Father, I know that you can do anything." Then ask with passion. "Please, Father, give me what I ask." There are times where God will, and there are times where he won't answer. But then the third part is the most important part, and that's accept God's plan. "Whatever. What I want most in my life is your will. Yes, I don't want to go through this suffering. I don't want to go through this problem. I don't want to go through this pain. But nevertheless, what I want even more than that is I want your plan. I want your purpose. I want your perspective. I want your will. However, your will, not my will, be done." And then the third one, third response when God says no, is expect God to give his grace to handle his answer. Grace is God's power to handle pain and do what's right anyway. You see, even Paul didn't get all his prayers answered. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 10. Paul said, "I prayed three times to the Lord about this, the thorn that he had in his body, and asked God to take it away. But his answer was, 'My grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. So I gladly boast about my weakness so that Christ's power can flow through me. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Is there a place where you've been asking God for healing and years have gone by and still the answer is no? God says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Instead, use it to shape me and make me depend on you. See, everything important that I've learned in my life, I've learned in painful situations. I've learned nothing from pleasure. It's the criticisms, not the compliments. And Paul said, "The one thing that I prayed about the most, God has chosen not to remove. So what you have prayed for, and so far, it hasn't happened." Remember, God has a bigger perspective. He may be protecting you from an unforeseen event that would greatly affect your life. He has a better plan. The story isn't ended yet. Some of you went through a divorce and you think it's the end of the chapter. Well, the chapter is ended, but that's not the end of the story. God's not finished with you yet. That's not the end of your story. It may be the end of the chapter. Are you going through something else? That's the end of a chapter, but it's not the end of your life. And God has a greater purpose. Right now, he's working on you. He will give you grace and power to handle that situation. Look at Psalm 9, verse 10. "Those who know you, Lord, will trust you. You do not abandon anyone who comes to you." If you don't trust God when he says no, it really means that you don't know him. Because those who know the Lord trust him. They know he's good. They know he's loving, even when he says no. Russell Kefler wrote a poem called "Wait." I don't often read poems, but I think this one's so fitting to end our service and even our 40 days. He wrote, "Desperately, helplessly, lovingly, I cried. Quietly, patiently, lovingly, God replied. I pled and I wept for a clue to my fate, and the master so gently said, wait. Wait, what you say wait? My indignant reply, Lord, I need answers. I need to know why. Is your hand shortened, or have you not heard? My faith I have asked, and I'm claiming your word. My future and all to which I can relate hangs in the balance, and you tell me wait. I'm needing a yes, a go-ahead sign, and oh, even a no to which I can resign. You promised, dear Lord, that if we believe, we need but to ask and we shall receive. The Lord, I've been asking, and this is my cry. I'm weary of asking. I need a reply. And quietly and softly, I learned of my fate as my master replied again, wait. So I slumped in my chair, defeated and taunt, and I grumbled to God, so I'm waiting for what? He seemed there to kneel, and his eyes met with mine, and he tenderly said, I could give you a sign. I could shake the heavens and darken the sun. I could raise the dead and cause mountains to run. I could give all you seek, and please you would be. You'd have all you want, but you wouldn't know me. You'd not know the depth of my love for each saint. You'd not know the power that I give to the faint. You'd not learn to see through clouds of despair. You'd not learn to trust just by knowing I'm there. You'd not know the joy of resting in me when darkness and silence are all that you can see. You'd never experience the fullness of love when the peace of my spirit descends like a dove. You would know that I give and I save for a start, but you would not know the depth of the beat of my heart. The glow of my comfort late into the night, the faith that I can give when you walk without sight, the depth that's beyond getting just what you ask from an infinite God who makes what you have last. You'd never know, should your pain quickly free, what it means that my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, oh, your dearest dreams overnight could come true. But oh, the loss, if you missed what I'm doing in you. So be silent, my child, and in time you will see that the greatest of gift is to truly know me. And though oft my prayers seem terribly late, my most precious answer of all is still wait. Will you pray with me this morning? You're not getting a yes answer to every one of your prayers, and you ought to thank God for that. Some of them, we can figure out why. But some of them, we're never going to know until we get to heaven. But we do know this, that God is a good God. He's a loving God. He has a greater perspective. He has a better plan. He has a greater purpose. And if you don't trust him, it's because you don't know him. So why don't you take the first step today to knowing God, really knowing him, and say something like this. Dear God, I want to get to know you. Just say that in your heart. Dear God, I want to get to know you. I want to open my life to you. I want to learn to love and trust you. And I want to feel your love toward me. I don't feel it, but I want to feel it. I want to be close to you. And God, I want your plan for my life, not mine. Mine hasn't worked out real well. God, I want your purpose for my life, not mine. God, I want your power in my life, not mine. And God, I want your pardon for all the things that I've done wrong. I need your peace. I need your presence. Thank you for letting your son Jesus suffer for me so that he could pay for all of my sins. And God, if you want to use the pain in my life to help others, do so. I want to be more like you. So today, as much as I know how, Jesus, I ask you to fill me with your love, with your life, and your spirit. And start me on a journey to trust in you more every day. Then one day I'll ask you to take me home to your home in heaven, where all the questions will be answered and all the problems will be removed and all the pain, will be replaced with your joy. And I look forward to that day. And help me tell other people about this. In your name I pray. Amen.